Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports fans, I'm Danielle McCartan, back for the third day in a row. This is going to be a short one. I'll be talking all things New York sports with you right up till 7:30 p.m. here in New York City and beyond before we send it up to snowy Buffalo for our Sunday night football presentation with Westwood One. So thanks for tuning in. Rami Lavi and I are live right here in Lower Manhattan, 888-808-1019. Call me up. Be part of the conversation. We're going to do a little soft little open here, and then we're going to open for real, and in between that, you need to get aboard with that phone number that I just said that you already have saved in your phone. So, obviously the Jets played today. No Giant game today, but the Jets, I mean, I'm watching this game at home, and I'm like, man, today in the first half, this Jets team came out playing like the Super Bowl contending team that everyone thought they were going to be this season. They were playing loose. They were playing free, it looked like. You had Aaron Rodgers out there throwing a lead block, lowering his shoulder, and then smiling after it because I was holding my breath as well. They had a kick return for a touchdown for the first time in three seasons, the Jets did in the first half. The kick returner for the Seahawks, he was fumbling kickoff returns left and right. Carlson, the kicker for the Jets, picked up one of them, which set the Jets up for a first down and 10 on their own 38. I mean, it was amazing field position. And then there was a tremendous goal line stand by the Jets defense. It was midway through the third quarter. It was after a comedy of penalties, a comedy of timeouts on both sides of the ball. Seattle had 8 snaps inside the 5-yard line. 8 in the 5. And Sauce Gardner had an emphatic pass defense against DK Metcalf. Then 4 Jets swarmed and sacked Geno Smith on 4th down. 0 points. Amazing. Like, where was that all season? Then they found a way to lose. And you knew it too. So how did it happen? Here's Sauce Gardner to explain it.
I'm kind of shocked. Like, I've never seen nothing like it. Everything go our way and we still lose. Like, that's just straight up. I sugarcoat nothing. Like, I don't know. I don't know how that happened.
He doesn't know how it happened, and nobody watching it did either. Is Aaron Rodgers the quarterback of the future, or deserving to return for another season for this Jets team? My heart says I would love to see it. My mind says, my brain says, not a chance. I also have, if we have time, a very public apology to make to you, the Jet fan, the listener to my show. So we've got about a half an hour here to do it. Jam-packed show. We'll keep all the calls short. And I'm Danielle McCartan with you till 7:30 exactly right here on The Fan. Yeah, welcome back into WFAN. My name is Danielle McCartan here with a little bit of a bridge show, which is pretty cool. Talking about the Jets, of course, coming off a, not surprising loss because they came out guns a-blazing in the first half. They looked great. And then, of course, they found a way to lose, and you knew it. Too many penalties again, including that ridiculous 12 men on the field. Like, I know Jeff Ulbrich, you know, he said, oh, man, that was my fault. Like, are you kidding me? You put the punt team out there. Didn't the Jets, somebody on that sideline, notice that the Seahawks didn't even have a punter, that he was hurt, that they were going for it every fourth down on every single time that came up? Why did you need a punt returner out there? That's infuriating. And then the clock management, man, that's something else. How do you not take a timeout as the clock is ticking down in the fourth quarter? You had not one, you had 2 left. And I play Madden on my PlayStation with better clock management than that. You take the both timeouts, you see what happens. There's no hurry up. There's no huddles on this offense. There's no sense of urgency at all. Infuriating. And now the losing is starting to take a toll on the young players in that locker room. And that's a dangerous place to be in. Here's Sauce Gardner after the loss.
Continue to prep. Continue to prepare the right way. The right way. You know, obviously, it's a lot going on, man. We 3-9. I don't think we've ever started 3-9. I don't think me and my time of playing football, I've ever been 3-9. So it's a feeling that I've never felt before.
Which is crazy, right? Breece Hall said, it's probably been the most trying year of my life. I mean, this is starting to be, the losing is starting to become a problem permeating in that locker room with those young players. This is starting to become a, maybe it was already happening and we didn't know about it, but here we are listening to the comments from these players. The losing is starting to take a toll on this locker room. That is a huge problem. 888-808-1019. Didn't want to take too much time at the top here. Want to get right to your calls. Again, 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. I guess the two main topics are Aaron Rodgers, should he be back next season? And if we got time, I do have a public apology to make to you because you deserve it. All right, let's go to Richie in Queens first. He was the leadoff caller of the night. What's up, Richie?
Danielle, how are you? It's always good hearing your voice, even if it's only half hour.
Let's do it.
All right, real quick, you're up against time. No, Rodgers should not be back. I was on the radio. I think I might have mentioned to you one all the time. I got grief about it last year. This is one of the biggest debacles in New York history.
I mean, it's up there, Richie. It's up there with the Brooklyn
Nets.
Yep, Irving, Durant, that disaster. Yep,
and it's up there with Phil Jackson coming in.
Yep,
when he was supposed to be the savior of the Knicks. So,
yep.
Bottom line is, and just ended with him. He's had the ball 5 times, less than 4 points.
Yep,
losing in the last 5, and he's been he is so far. And I've been a big booster of him. He is 30%. Less than what he used to be. And real quick with the Giants,
yeah.
If I may.
Sure.
I'm thinking Dable, I think at this point in time, Dable and Shane, the last thing Mara wants to do is get rid of a new regime. And like I told Sean Marash over the weekend, I said it last year, I said it this year. Where are we going last year? Where are we going this year? We have so many issues. This is the worst year of NFL football in New York that I can remember.
You're right. When you got a
guy like Rodgers, the Giants weren't expected. They were expected to be competitive. And obviously, they talked about Rodgers going to the Super Bowl, which I thought was a disaster. But again, the Giants, they're going to look at Vera. They're going to look at David. They're going to look, if he loses the locker room and they don't play for him at this particular point, then they're going to have to say, we got to pull the plug again. What a disaster, Daniel.
Yeah,
Always a pleasure to hear your voice.
Thanks, Richie.
Bye-bye.
I appreciate that. It doesn't make this job much fun. I mean, I love coming here and I love talking to you, but how many times do we have to talk about different ways in which these teams lose and these expectations? You said the words. I was in that boat. I thought the Jets were Super Bowl bound this season. They were stacked on paper. And for whatever reason, I mean, I know football's not played on paper, but for whatever reason, this team never came to. It looks like a bunch of individuals playing out there wearing all the same color uniform. That's it. It doesn't look like a team to me. No way. And you know what? Because of that Super Bowl expectation, I have a public apology to make to you, my loyal listener. And it has to do with these Jets. Because I am so very embarrassed that I actually fell for the illusion that they were a playoff caliber team, a Super Bowl caliber team even. And I really thought, after being there at MetLife Stadium, watching that second half of the Texans game there this season, that Rodgers would rally the troops, go on a run. And I am embarrassed to say that I thought this team, even like recently, could make the playoffs, could run the table and make the playoffs. The Broncos, that 1 week, that was when the Broncos lost and the Colts lost and everything fell the Jets' way and they couldn't put a single touchdown on the board. That's when you knew this season was over. It's pathetic. You know, so I just, I needed to get on this microphone, and I needed to publicly apologize to every single person that I convinced throughout this entire preseason and season up until, you know, that game against the Texans. And after it, that this Jets team would ultimately pull it together. Forget about running the table. The playoffs are no longer on the table. I know they're not mathematically eliminated just yet, I don't think. But this season is over, and I am about to send myself into the darkness myself. I'm just going to contemplate which team's bandwagon I can join for the rest of this season, because this is, it's miserable. It's like a torture. You put yourself through torture every night that these teams, Thursday night, Monday night, Sunday night, it's just torture for both of these teams. So I just wanted you to know that I am very sorry to have tried to convince you, or even actually convinced you, that these frauds actually had it in them. Because I really did think that they did. So please accept my apology. 888-808-1019. Moving right along. Kevin in Camden's next on The Fan. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Coach, I want to apologize too, because today I wore my Aaron Rodgers jersey today. I had a feeling when I put this jersey on, I said, this is going to be bad luck. And my good, the penalties, you touched on it. Some of them are the coach. Some of them are self-inflicted, and that's what kills me.
Yep.
That's what kills me. I don't even know where to start. I can go with the 12 men on the field. I can go with all of and I said it at halftime. I was visiting the front today. Oh, the Jets are going to win today. I said, boy, you have not watched the Jets.
Yep.
I knew that. It was over. I said, even though they were winning by four, I said, the Jets have lost this game. That pick six,
yep,
with Leonard Williams, I said, that's it. This game is over. And I just knew the body language was telling. And real quick, because I know we're going to have a short one, New York football, it needs a massive reset. Both teams,
yep,
need a massive reset. I don't want to hear about trying to maintain it. No, you need to tear it both down, both organizations. You need to tear it all down and start, and I hate saying this, start from scratch. I hate saying it, but there's no other option. You cannot run this back if you're both franchises, because I tell you what, fans will not put up with this. You have to restart. I hate saying it. You have to do this from scratch, which is embarrassing, because the expectations, again, the expectation, and I'll make a point before I get off. Our New York teams do better, to me, it seems like, when we don't expect anything from them. Like, when there's no expectations, that's when they surprise us and we have a good year.
Yeah, like the Brooklyn Nets so far this season.
Exactly, and the Mets this past year, nobody expected them to do anything. Look what they did. New York City needs to get back to the way it was, but there's going to be a lot of work to do, because I'm just at the point I can wear a bag on my head going to work, and it's embarrassing. There's just no other words to say it. Yep. No other words. I'm just embarrassed.
You know what, Kevin, and thanks for the call there. It's probably, I would say, more upsetting if you're wearing green right now than if you're wearing blue, because of the expectations of this team, of this quarterback. And you were sky high. You know, last year, unfortunately, that's how it went down, you know, in that first game. You were coming back this year stronger than ever, and then it has just been crash and burn for this Jets team. And it's inexplicable. Like, there isn't one particular thing that you could put your finger on and say, that's it. Because there isn't. It's a plethora of different things. The roster is talented. I don't understand. Sauce Gardner doesn't understand. If he doesn't understand, how are we supposed to make sense of it? Jeff Ulbrich doing his team no favors by leaving two timeouts on the board. Better clock management I've seen by kids at school in Madden. Christ. Billy in Brooklyn. What's up, Billy?
Hey, what's up, Danielle? Listen, honestly, you don't need to apologize. Anybody who's a Jet fan for their whole life, they knew this science experiment was never going to work.
Mm.
This is nonsense. Nonsense. I quit months ago talking to Evan Tiki, everybody, this was a circus. It's always been a circus. It's a joke. And then Aaron Rodgers comes in here and hijacks the entire team, the organization.
Yeah.
What do you think was going to happen?
Yep.
What do we think was going to happen?
You know what? I feel back. I bought in, and I was like, this team has a vision. They finally have a quarterback. You know, like, that's what they were missing, right? They had the core. They had the nucleus. And then all of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers comes in, gets dropped in, and you're like, let's go. Let's do it. And then it's been everything but that.
We are the literal football team of the Johnson and Johnsons, right? We are the Band-Aid team. Mm-hmm. All we do is Band-Aids. We have no future. No future. And forget about the management. Forget about all of that. We have no future. The culture is done. We have fired our head coach, regardless of what was going on early in the season, because the czar, our new czar, our nucleus, he's in charge. And who is he? Yes, he won the Super Bowl. Great. Fantastic. We are ruining all of our young talents. We are doing nothing for the future of this organization.
Yep.
And I'm sick of it. I am completely done with this team. Watching today, I took a live bet on the Seahawks.
Oh, you know why? I should have done that. Oh,
no, I did.
What were the odds? What'd you get?
I got it. And you know what?
What were the odds? Plus what?
I got plus 160 on them, and I loved every second of it. You know why? Because they've been torturing us forever.
Yep.
You know what? It's my time, as Evan Roberts said, I emotionally hedged, and I'm done.
Yep.
I am done. They could keep my season tickets. This is a joke.
Yeah, they're raising prices too, aren't they?
Yeah. Yes, they could keep it. Keep it.
Third year in a row, that's a slap in the face. That is a slap in the face to the Jet fan. Sorry.
It's an embarrassment.
Yep.
Danielle, thank you. I won't take more of your time.
Billy.
I appreciate you taking my call.
You got it. Thanks for making it. Yeah. And you can look. I was looking on StubHub, two nights ago? I guess a third party, whatever. $25. It's not even worth the investment. You can't even sell. You can't. The Jets should be paying you to go to games at this point in time. It is not worth the investment. How dare they go ahead and raise the ticket prices again for the third straight year? They haven't made the playoffs since I was a first-year teacher, since I graduated college, 2010. Oh, it's miserable. And today you got Geno Smith on display. You got Sam Darnold on display. You got Mark Sanchez in the booth. I mean, it's unfathomable. Leonard Williams comes up with a big man touchdown for the first time in his career. Where was that when he was a Jet? It's embarrassing, man. Andre in the Bronx. What's up, Andre?
Hey, how you doing today? And happy holidays to you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
Hey, listen to me, right? Is it possible, right? I got three things I want to get off my chest. Is it possible to combine the Jets and Giants players? And do you think that you can get a team that can contend between both of the teams, right?
I mean,
number one, that's food for thought, right?
Right, right.
Number two.
Probably not. And I'm going to go with probably not.
Okay, so like the next thing is this right here. Who's the offensive line coach of the Philadelphia Eagles? Because that is who the Jets should hire as their next coach.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm saying to you,
yeah.
Right? Whoever they bring in is the next head coach, right? He has to be able to build an offensive line because
yes.
I don't care what quarterback you bring in there.
Yes.
You can bring Jesus Christ in there, right? But if you cannot block,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Somebody has to be able to teach these professional dudes how to play offensive line.
Yes.
Just look at the good teams around the league. Even the Washington Commanders. You know why they're getting so good? Because they block for him.
Yep.
And then I want to know, when does Dable and Shane get fired? Because they need to get run out of town. Did you see what Saquon is doing tonight?
Yeah.
Did you see this?
I did.
I'm watching the Eagle game right now.
Yep.
And I'm pulling out my hair. I don't have any hair. Right? So now I'm going to let you go, sweetie. Have a great holiday.
Yes.
But this is crazy.
Yeah, you too, Andre. Thanks. And you know what? This Saquon Barkley thing, as if it gets any worse, if you're wearing blue, you turn on the Eagle game and Saquon Barkley is doing what he is doing. I mean, you knew he was going to be – I talked about it. You knew he was going to be better, okay, because the offensive line is way better. Like, not even comparable in Philadelphia to the New York Giants offensive line. There's no comparison. But Saquon Barkley, it's almost like you got to let it go because he was never going to look like that in a New York Giants uniform. Never. They cannot build an offensive line. They cannot figure it out. And for that matter, neither really can the Jets. They're investing again in these old broken down players. It's time to look to the future. And hopefully, and I had conflicting thoughts on bringing in this, Woody Johnson bringing in this firm to make decisions for him. And I'm like, you know what? How disconnected is he from his own team that he can't make a correct decision, you know, to do the interviews and all that? And then I was like, wait a second. He's been getting it wrong since he got here. Maybe bringing in an outside company with an outside perspective of people that actually know what they're talking about and know the game of football would be a great thing for this team. So you know what? I'm behind that organization. Turn it around. Because you know Woody can't, doesn't know how to. Christopher doesn't have the tools either. Because if they're not going to sell the team, which you know they're not going to, that is, I guess, the next best thing. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We go to Tom in Colts Neck. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call. I've been a Jets fan for my entire life, 25 years, and This is the most disappointed season I've ever seen. But one thing that I don't know, I haven't seen a lot of people talking about, which I think there is some promise there. I want to get your thoughts. Is Jordan Travis? You know, I went to Clemson University. I got to see Jordan Travis play, and I think this kid is special. I know he's hurt this year, but I was wondering your thoughts if, you know, maybe we should give this kid a shot next year, see if he can turn into, you know, something special for us, or if we should go the same route we've always been going, which is taking a quarterback in the draft, hoping for the best.
No, Tom, I'll stop you right there. Jordan Travis, by the way, has had multiple setbacks in his rehab process, by the way. Multiple setbacks. I don't even know if he's going to ever see the field. Take a quarterback in this draft. Do you understand reaching for Zach Wilson? Asinine reaching for Zach Wilson is what started the spiral, the most recent spiral of this team. There's no chance he was supposed to pick number two overall. The Jets reached for him. They're still paying for it. And they should not reach again for a quarterback this year because none of them are going to be worth the Jets and Giants are going to be fighting for the 1 and 2 overall picks pretty much. None of them are worth a pick that high. To reach for him, to reach for a quarterback without fixing the offensive line first. God forbid, a tight end that they still don't know how to use. We talked about that last night. That needs to happen first before you put any quarterback behind that line, but on that field, in that uniform. Jose in Staten Island is going to wrap us up for tonight. Go ahead, Jose.
How you doing, Daniel?
All right, how are you?
I'm just wondering, Rodgers hit. How much would it be if he was released and everything?
Yes, that's a great question.
He's a one-year release.
Yes, so if they release him at the end of this season, it'll cost them $49 million in dead cap money, and if they release, they run it back one more year, it's going to cost them $63 million if they cut him after next season. So
it's better just to let him go and let Tyrod tell him, run the hell next year with somebody young that can stay behind them if you keep him.
Yep, exactly right.
Because you're not paying for that next quarterback, so
yes,
since you're not paying for the quarterback, but now you already, this year you gave up a lot of defensive linemen were very valuable.
Yes, that is absolutely correct. And Jose, they're starting the music on me, but you are right. I mean, this defense looks like a shell of itself, letting those guys go. Yes, absolutely. You're so right. And I wanted to talk more about Aaron Rodgers and the contract situation, but I'll have a video and I'll post it up on Coach McCartan at Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, wherever you like. That's where it will be. It'll go more in-depth about Rodgers and should he be back or not. So if you missed any portion of today's show, it's 6:50 p.m. I think Rami said he might podcast out the whole thing, which is fantastic. And he's done a great job over the past two nights. You need to know that. And so I will see you again, you know, next time, whenever that is. And coming up next, our Westwood One presentation of the San Francisco 49ers at the Buffalo Bills in snowy Orchard Park. That's up next, right here on WFAN.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.